The Battle of Bataan, December 8, 1941. You already know that Japan hit Wake Island within hours of destroying Pearl Harbor. But Japan also quickly attacked the Philippine Islands, where thousands of American service personnel were stationed under the command of General Douglas MacArthur. Fortunately, after World War I, the United States began planning for a possible Japanese invasion of the Philippines. The plan, devised by both the U.S. Navy and Army, was called War Plan Orange. Its purpose was to protect the 45,000 troops stationed on these islands. Unfortunately, War Plan Orange had one big flaw. It depended on an air fleet and reinforcements arriving from Pearl Harbor. But Japan had wiped out both planes and troops in their sneak attack on Hawaii, and now, the day after Pearl Harbor, Japanese planes swooped over the Philippines, destroying half of General MacArthur's fleet of B-17 bombers and P-40 fighters. Once again, most of the planes never even left the ground. The attack continued for 5 days. Before December was over, Japanese General Masaharu Homma was landing troops on the island of Luzon, where most of the Americans were stationed. Homma quickly placed his troops in 3 different locations, hoping to encircle MacArthur's forces. Realizing his new predicament, MacArthur withdrew his entire force, which included about 65,000 native Filipinos fighting with the Americans. MacArthur sent them all to the Bataan Peninsula on Luzon's south end. MacArthur hoped to launch the rest of War Plan Orange from there, positioning his defensive lines in 5 different locations. Each line was 1 day's march from the next. On paper, War Plan Orange looked brilliant, but this sudden withdrawal to Bataan meant leaving behind supplies that the troops desperately needed: food, fresh water, ammunition, gasoline, and medical supplies. Meanwhile, the plan required the troops to be able to hold out for 6 months. That time frame suddenly looked very uncertain, especially with Japanese warships encircling the islands, blocking any help or supplies from reaching the Americans. Another difficulty during this invasion came from the Americans themselves. Although 30,000 Army and Marine personnel and 15,000 Air Force fighters sounded like a large force, it wasn't nearly enough to defend against Japan's massive military force of some 130,000 troops. Moreover, the native Filipinos fighting alongside the Americans were poorly trained and lacked modern weapons. 1/4 of the Filipino hand grenades failed to ignite. 2/3 of their mortar rounds were duds. The Japanese forces marched toward these men, who were isolated on a southern stretch of the island. Within a month, the lack of supplies left the Americans suffering from hunger and exhaustion. On January 8th, Japanese forces assaulted the eastern flank of a defensive line, but the Army's 91st Division and the 57th Infantry pushed back. Alexander R. Nininger, Jr., a platoon leader in the 57th, fought his way into Japanese foxholes armed only with a rifle and hand grenades. In hand-to-hand combat against the enemy, Nininger helped his unit retake the line. When Japanese forces burst through the tropical foliage, Filipino fighter Narcisco Ortolano fired a heavy machine gun until it died. He then grabbed his .45 pistol and kept shooting. One Japanese soldier stabbed Ortolano with a bayonet, but Ortolano continued trying to grab the enemy's gun even after the soldier sliced off his thumb. Ortolano finally stabbed the enemy in the chest, swinging the bayonet just as another Japanese soldier came upon him. Ortolano shot him dead. Through January and February, the Japanese continued their attacks. The Americans fought relentlessly, but food was running low. The Americans were placed on quarter rations, meaning 1/2 meal a day. The extreme hunger drove men to eat the mules that died in battle. Other men suffered from tropical diseases such as malaria and dysentery, which meant that even standing up was a struggle. Meanwhile, Japan continued sending fresh reinforcements into the battle. Back in Washington, D.C., President Roosevelt grew concerned. MacArthur was America's most experienced general in the Pacific, but he could not win against the Japanese. Roosevelt ordered MacArthur to leave the Philippines. MacArthur resisted until March 12th, when the general, his family, and some other officers were shipped to Australia aboard some patrol transport PT boats. Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright was placed in command. The Americans still refused to give up. Frustrated by such fierce resistance, Japan added 190 artillery pieces, including field howitzers and 150-millimeter cannons. On April 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Japan dropped bombs from one side of the Bataan Peninsula to the other. Some parts of the island became blazing infernos. During the next 3 days, from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, Japanese tanks and infantry attacked what remained of the defensive lines. Though weak and ravaged, the American forces pushed back. Japan crushed their every maneuver. On April 7th, American commanders lost contact with their forces. The roads around Bataan became clogged with fleeing refugees and retreating Filipino troops. Field Commander General Edward King saw his troops so weakened by months of hunger, disease, and nonstop fighting that the men could barely lift their rifles. On April 8th, disobeying orders, King discussed terms of surrender with Japan. General Homma refused to accept terms. Either the Americans surrendered unconditionally or the battle continued. On April 9th, realizing this fight could not be won, General King surrendered. But the fight wasn't over. Next stop, Corregidor. Just off the southern tip of the Bataan Peninsula sits the island of Corregidor. It was called the Rock due to the height of the rocky landscape and heavy fortifications. As Japanese forces stormed down the peninsula, America's main command moved to Corregidor, specifically to Malinta Hill, a tunnel complex. Built in the 1920s, the underground village was large enough to hold the Army Command Center, barracks, a hospital, storage facilities, and even an officers' club. On April 9th, when King surrendered Bataan, Japanese forces immediately headed for the Rock. They used more than 75 heavy artillery pieces to rain explosive terror on Corregidor. Inside the tunnel, life turned grim. Drinking water supplies were running low. Communications came in sporadic bursts. The constant bombardment by the Japanese shook the dugout walls. Surgeons resorted to flashlights because lights inside the tunnel flickered on and off. The Japanese fired 16,000 artillery rounds in 1 day. By early May, the American defenses were down to just a few machine gun positions and 2 coastal guns. The Japanese tanks roared across the island and stopped at the tunnel's entrance. Inside, more than 1,000 wounded men lay in the underground hospital. General Wainwright knew that if the Japanese tanks fired on the tunnel's entrance, the resulting fireball would incinerate everyone inside, and fighting outside had been reduced to hand-to-hand combat. Wainwright sent out runners, telling the American soldiers to destroy all their weapons. Marine Private Ernest J. Bales was furious. "Was this what we'd spent all these damn days and nights dodging bullets for?" he later said. "I couldn't believe it." Wainwright also wrote to President Roosevelt, "It is with broken heart and head bowed in sadness, but not in shame, that I must report to Your Excellency that I must go today to arrange terms for the surrender of the fortified islands of Manila Bay. There is a limit of human endurance, and that limit has long since passed. Goodbye, Mr. President." Japan demanded unconditional surrender. Wainwright wanted to avoid that because U.S. troops were still fighting in other parts of the Philippines. Unconditional surrender would mean Japan had total control of all the islands. But with flame-throwing tanks stationed at the tunnel's entrance, Wainwright didn't have much choice. "I was desperately cornered," he later said. "My troops on Corregidor were almost completely disarmed, as well as wholly isolated from the outside world." Wainwright agreed to unconditional surrender. "That was it," he said. "The last hope vanished from my mind." As Wainwright was taken from the tunnel by Japanese guards, he passed by hundreds of his men. Wounded, defeated, dying, they tried to console him. "It's all right, General," they said. "You did your best." Private Edward Reamer stood near Wainwright as he was taken away. "I could see tears on Wainwright's cheeks," he said. "You couldn't look in any direction outside the tunnel without seeing a dead body. One guy was holding a Tommy gun with half his head blown off. Those guys fought right up to the tunnel, right up to the headquarters." After nearly 5 months of fighting, the Battle of Corregidor ended on May 7th, 1942. Wainwright, along with the other American forces, was taken to a Japanese prison camp. he would remain a POW for the rest of World War II. Who fought? Douglas MacArthur was probably the most famous and most controversial general of World War II. Raised in the military, MacArthur graduated first in his class at the West Point Military Academy. He immediately joined the U.S. Army and quickly rose through the ranks, serving during World War I. In 1924, he was sent to the Philippines to quell a rebellion. In 1937, MacArthur retired from the Army and became a military advisor to the Philippine government. But in 1941, the U.S. Army withdrew MacArthur and named him commander of the forces in the Far East. That same year, Japan attacked the Philippines. After President Roosevelt pulled MacArthur from the Philippines during the Battle of Bataan, many servicemen resented the general leaving the battlefield. MacArthur realized their feelings and soon after his departure gave a speech. It's known as the I Shall Return speech. The President of the United States ordered me to break through the Japanese lines and proceed from Corregidor to Australia for the purpose, as I understand it, of organizing the American offensive against Japan, a primary objective of which is the relief of the Philippines. I came through, and I shall return. MacArthur's leaving stirred mixed feelings among the troops. Some men felt his exit was the right strategy, but others felt abandoned in their hour of need.